is beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
What a wonderful day it is to be with the Lord. And we're going to continue our series today on how to be a witness for Christ. And I think it's the conclusion today. You know, we eventually do reach the end of these messages. And this is good news because it means that we've not only concluded one series, but we have all the great hope and expectation of beginning a brand new series starting next week on a very vital Bible issue. So we hope you'll stay with us today as we continue. After I conclude the series, and it's been, I guess, 8 or 9 programs we've had, 7 I think it is actually, we've had with this, I have a few comments to make at the end of it. But as always, we want to invite you to write to us with your comments. Hopefully not criticisms, but if you've got those, we'll certainly entertain them, and I'll pay attention to. But maybe you've got some good news for us. You know, I would like to just hear from you and get a praise report on what's happening in your life. I really would. I'd like to know. Some of you, great things are happening in your life. Maybe Jesus has reached down and touched a loved one. Could be that God has blessed you in some way of prosperity. I don't know. Sometimes people actually get blessed by losing some material goods. Oh, God has different ways of blessing people. It might be that God has just spoken to your heart. Maybe he's called you into a ministry. Perhaps you've been reading the Bible, some Bible verses again, and you've seen or been able to discern amazing information that the Holy Spirit had not given to you before. I do that quite often as I'm reading Colossians or Thessalonians or maybe somewhere in the Old Testament. I'll see a verse and I say, why, I never saw that before. Of course, I did, but you know how your mind is sort of selective? I think sometimes the Holy Spirit just makes you center in on something. I don't know how that operates. I had a friend one time that believed whenever she had a real problem in her life, she told Juan and I that she would just close her eyes, take the Bible, and just open it up to a page. And God would always have some information on that page. Well, you know, I don't know. In a sense, I'm not saying that God couldn't work that away. Of course he could. But, you know, you're sort of forcing God in doing that. I would not recommend that to anyone. Because what you're doing is saying, God, I am going to reach my finger down and just take a page at random. I don't know what, just reach it in and just pull out a page or open up to a page. And I know you're going to have a message for me. Well, you know, you're trying to push God along. Maybe there's a reason he doesn't want you to have an answer. I know a lot of people here in America, we want instant gratification. Instant, everything, we have to have it, and we want it now. But, you know, God might just say, you know, I'm not going to give her or him an answer. It's not time for an answer. Did you know that God might want you confused even? You say, well, why would he want? God is not the author of confusion. I know that, and that's why he's going to clear it up in due time. Some people are not able to handle the answer. I'm going to talk on that in some upcoming programs. Maybe there's things God doesn't want to do for you right now. Maybe if you got an answer, it may send you off spiraling in some direction he doesn't want you to take. You know, sometimes he actually sent people into the wilderness. Do you remember when he called Paul at first he just blinded him and said, go see this man in this city. He'll tell you what to do. Well, why didn't he had the ability, why didn't he just stuff Paul's mind with everything immediately? Maybe he wanted, I'm just speculating, the Bible doesn't say, but I wonder if one of the things is he wanted Paul to reflect on his sin. You see, Paul had been very busy arresting Christians, having them stoned to death, putting them on trial. He was very self-satisfied with what he was doing. He thought he was serving God. He was indeed serving prophecy because Jesus had said to his disciples, they will kill you and think they do God's service. Paul thought he was doing God's service, but then that light came. Jesus Christ came, blinded him on that road to Damascus. He said, Paul, why do you persecute me? Well, of course, Paul had never persecuted, as far as we know, Jesus. That alone is a fantastic verse, isn't it? It means when the devil's people persecute you for your faith, they are actually persecuting Jesus. Do you not think he will get revenge? Do you not think God knows how to give recompense for the wrongs done to his children? Do you not realize that he told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you? And he was talking about, I believe, not only Abraham, but his seed. And who are Abraham's seed? Everyone who knows Jesus, Jew or Gentile. Galatians 3, verse 29, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. So friends, that blessing and promise is yours. And whoever harms you, God is going to make them pay. Unless, of course, they repent. I believe Paul needed some time to reflect what he had done. Maybe it was good he was in blindness. Can you imagine being struck blind by God? If that doesn't make you think about what you did to deserve that, for all Paul knew, he was going to be blind for the rest of his life. What a horrible thing. And then he began to think, well, that was Christ himself. He was telling me I'm persecuting his children, and that's the same as him. Oh, what a terrible thing I've done. I imagine Paul, the Bible doesn't tell us everything that happened to every disciple 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I imagine he cried a lot about what he had done. I have seen some Christians, when they came to know Jesus, bawl and for days on end, thinking about their sins, but being so glad and joyful that God had forgiven their sins. You see, the fact is they knew not only of the gravity of their behavior, the gravity of their sins, the wrongness of it. They knew they had done damage to others and to themselves. But at the same time, a true Christian with repentance understands the grievousness of his or her sin. They're so joyful that Jesus Christ has forgiven them. It doesn't mean you forget every sin. Oh, you still may remember it. And there might even be consequences in this world for your sin. But the good news is you've been forgiven. And you're given eternal life. You've exchanged your sin. I mean, it's gone. It's thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. And the best thing, basically, is if you need to atone for your sins, that's fine. You can't always do that. If you wronged Joe, but Joe has gone on to be with the Lord, and you did him a terrible wrong 20 years ago, well, you can't do anything for Joe. But along comes John next year. Oh, yeah, God may send somebody next year to you. And you'll do John a good service. You might even show John the Bible and show where Jesus died for his sins. And you see, then are you not paying back? Now, I'm not saying, I think Jesus already paid for your sins. Don't get me wrong. But I know this much. I think he will send people in your life so you will do good works. I believe in good works. They don't save you, but they are wonderful instruction for you. And they make of you an exemplar. You're an example for others. And in that sense, maybe God will send people in your life. Now, I don't believe in karma. You got to balance out your sin. And that may not be at all. And I'm just saying that's very possible, but it may not be. I doubt if Paul could have ever done anything that would atone for his sins. He had sinned so badly, so horribly, nothing he could do could make up for what he had done. Thank God Jesus paid for Paul and his sins. Jesus already paid the price. But I believe once you come to know Jesus, you want to do good works. Not because you need to pay for your sins. It's just that you're that kind of a person. You suddenly become a new creature in Christ, and you can't help yourself. Even if the flesh struggles with you and says, no, don't do that. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. That person's not worth it. The devil will be right on your shoulder. Your flesh will be charging at you and saying, don't do that. Don't do those good works. And you just tell the devil, get lost. We got a beautiful song today. And if God compels you, yes, sometimes he compels people to give love gifts, tithes and offerings to this ministry. Well, do so. But that's it between you and God. Now, we have a beautiful song by Johnny Ray Watson. He's got it all in control. You got any worries in your life, friends? You got problems, challenges? Don't worry. He's got it all in control. And then we'll, immediately after this wonderful song, message song, we'll have our sermon for today about how to be a witness. And I'll talk to you right at the conclusion.
Got it all in control. God's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in his hands. I put my life in his hands. So every road I walk down, I'm sure it's in his plan. 'Cause I put my life in his hands. Holds a star in the sky. Oh, and he holds back the land from the sea. And if he can do all of that, surely he can take good care of you. Got it all in control. My God's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all.
If you are of the world will love you. The world loves Madonna. They love Marilyn Monroe. They love Frank Sinatra. They love
Arnold Schwarzenegger in California. They loved Franklin Roosevelt and Vladimir Lenin. And they loved Stalin. Kids worshipped him. And Hitler. And J-Lo, is that what they call her? J-Lo, they love her. And Britney Spears. The world loves them all. And if you were of the world would love you. But if you're not of the world will hate you. Now, a lot of Christians say, I don't want the world to hate me. Okay, then you don't want to pay the price. You make that decision. You judge yourself. Christ said, I have chosen you out of the world. He chose you out of the world. And listen to this. He chose you to be hated by the world. It's only a short period of time, but it could be quite intense, the pain and the suffering. Are you ready to pay the price? Are you ready to be a witness for Christ? If it comes to that. And you know what? It can come to that real, real soon. Now, a lot of people say, how can I be a witness? How can I help other people to know Jesus, to have faith in Him, when I'm hated? A man who was a close friend of mine said, Tex, I think all you're doing is making enemies. I mean, I work, he said, for a major oil company. We try to make a friend of the world. We want the world to come buy our brand name of gasoline. We don't try to turn people off. We don't try to offend people. It seems like you want to offend them. He says, we want the whole world to come and buy our gasoline. And I said, well, that's the difference. Jesus died for the whole world, but he said only the few will find the way. It's only the elect. It's only the few. And you know, God is not looking for the vast majority. You may be surprised to know that. He doesn't want anybody to perish, but they're going to perish of their own choice, their own free will. He's chosen a few. The rest of them, they're going to perish. You say, oh no, that's a terrible thought. Well, it's true. It's true. Can sandpaper draw men more than does honey? That was the question this man asked me. You give them sandpaper, we give them honey. Well, okay. We only get the few then. Well, we're like the Marines, you know. God's only looking for a few good men and women. And the rest of them can go join some other army of the aliens, of the adversary. Let me tell you a secret, friends. This is going to be a secret that may shock some of you. But you know what? God hasn't asked you to save anyone anyway. What if you go out and you offend everybody? What if you go out and you become a street preacher and everybody hates you and throws tomatoes at you or tries to kick you and call you bad names and uses profanity against you? And after 50 years, you've never saved one soul. Well, I understand that because you can't save anybody's soul anyway. It's not you that saves them. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men to me. Jesus draws them. The very fact that he died on the cross, he will draw men to him. Because of the testimony that you may have a role to play. A very important role. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. The Bible also says it is the Holy Spirit that draws men to Christ. The Holy Spirit. I remember one time when I was a young chaplain assistant at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio. They would at a certain day of basic training, they would take all the guys and they would send all the Catholics to one auditorium. They were there on the fifth day of training or whatever. They would send the Presbyterians to one place, the Mormons to one place, the Seventh-day Adventists to another. They would have a chaplain of that denomination speak to them, tell them a little bit about the chaplaincy and all that. And it was really interesting. I remember that I was supposed to go down just make sure the auditorium was open and the air conditioning was on and everything for the Baptist chaplain, the Southern Baptist chaplain. And we got down there and he didn't show up. I guess he missed the schedule or something. And there was no chaplain to speak to him. Now, the chaplain would always talk to him, give him a little sermonette. And then he actually had an altar call. And boy, you know, sometimes it's quite effective because those guys were pretty bad shape by the fifth day of being hollered at and screamed at, and they felt they needed somebody named Jesus. And usually, you know, 30 or 40 would go forward out of 1,000 at least, and attending. Well, the chaplain wasn't there, so I was like the senior airman because I had two stripes. This other guy had one stripe. This before I became an officer a little later on. And he said, what are we going to do? And I said, well, why don't you just get up there and give him a sermon? He said, I'm not a chaplain. I don't know how to give a sermon. I said, just go up there and say something. You know, that we've got this time with him. Just say something. And he said, I don't know what to say. So I said, just say something. You know, that's an order. He said, okay. He just got up there and just says, we're here to tell you, you know, that in the Air Force, there will always be a chaplain available to talk to you. And if anybody wants to come forward and accept Jesus, come now. They had about 300 come. About 300 came down. And then he was stuck with praying for them. You know, he didn't know how to pray for them. And so he texts, will you pray for them? I said, yes. And I was just chaplain. So I just did the admin work, just like a secretary or something. And I just asked God to, you know, to please forgive those of their sins that asked for it and to be with them and guide them and all of that. And that afternoon, we saw that chaplain. He said, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I missed that. You know, what happened, you know? And so we laughed. It was sort of humorous and yet sort of wonderful. And we told him what happened. And we said, about 300 guys came forward for salvation. He said, you're kidding. We had about 5 Southern Baptist chaplains at Lackland. About 30 chaplains, 31 in all. And they would take turns. No one had ever had 300 guys come at once. And they say, well, how did that happen? The guy really didn't even give a sermon. You know what I think? I believe God just decided to move sovereignly in that meeting. And that is good instruction for us as Christians, is it not? Maybe God doesn't want us necessarily to be so powerful an orator. Maybe we don't have to be silver-tongued and all of that. Just be honest. Just be sincere. Just give your testimony. And that's being a witness for Christ. And those people, I believe their salvation was very sincere because it was their heart. They were there already prepared by God. See, and I think that's what happened. Many people are already prepared by God. And you just go there and say, would you like to accept Jesus? Yes, I need that. I want that. You could be surprised. And then there are those people that just will curse you. Boy, wish I'd never even mentioned the name of Jesus. That guy, he cursed me. So what's up to you, friend? You know, again, I go back to John Quincy Adams. He was asked why he did things, you know, for Christ, why he took on a certain secret society to expose it. And they said, you're not going to do any good. They're so powerful. You'll never accomplish anything. You'll never turn things around. He said, hold it just a minute. Duty is mine. Consequences are God's. It's not up to him to make those people see the light. it's you know, that's between God and them. He just does whatever God tells him, and he lets the chips fall where they might. And you know what? I've always told people, if a person spits in your face, you know what Jesus said? Just shake the dust off your feet and go to the next town. You say, well, then I didn't do any good. Really? You might have just brought judgment to those people. Because when they get to heaven and stand before the throne, and they say, I never had a chance, Lord. I was raised this way. You know, I wasn't really raised there. I didn't have the same opportunity as other people. They could say, but wait, Barbara came to see you that day. Elizabeth, John. Do you remember that time? And I believe God will run like a little movie reel in their head. Oh, yes. You spit in their face. You told them to get lost. So, did you not do something right for God? He called you to preach. He gave them an opportunity. In that sense, you were serving God. Now, in that sense, you were a witness for Christ. They rejected it. They rejected your testimony. So what's that to you? It's a sad thing for them, but you did what God told you to do. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. Some people want to escape these responsibilities of Christ. But friends, this is the way to joy. This is the way to peace. This is the way to happiness. If you are a witness for Jesus Christ, just by following these little rules that I told you about, you will be a happier person. I promise you. And listen to this. It's your destiny to do these things. God has already prepared the way for you. He's the advance man. He He prepares the path for you. He clears all the obstacles out, and you will be surprised at what He can do to move mountains, to open up things for you, open a path. And listen, He has a destiny for you. A destiny. Why would you want to evade your destiny?
Remember, friends, you were chosen from the foundation of the world. And your destiny to live forever with Jesus Christ. So, I encourage you to be a witness beginning right this moment. I'm Pastor Tex Mars of Bible Home Church. It's been wonderful to share with you and be your friend. And as we travel together through the pages of God's Word, through the last, many weeks here, 7 weeks, I believe, in all, we're going to continue looking at God's Word with a real wonderful positive eye, because it is a positive book, next week. Well, this is Pastor Tex Mars at Bible Home Church. I pray that God will give you the richest blessings this week and every week until Jesus returns again.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.